This episode of Ticker Ripper is brought to you by Last Minute Christmas Shopping. You're a terrible father, and you know it. Welcome back to the Ticket Ripper Podcast. If you're new here, welcome to the Ticket Ripper Podcast. My name, as always, is Ben Kameen, your humble host, the greatest host of all time. And that's facts, my homies. You can take that to the bank. Pip Squiddly Doop. It's another episode. And you're probably wondering, man, it's been a minute since the last one, eh? And that's exactly why I'm doing this one. You might notice that I just sound kind of chill. Just been not feeling myself lately. This is why I haven't made an episode. But today I just woke up 8 in the morning and said to myself, you know what, Benji? Sometimes you just gotta do the thing. Sometimes you just gotta do the thing and hope that the thing does it, you know? So today we're just going to be talking about movies that I've been watching, because I've been watching some movies. I'll tell you that right now. Oh, have I been watching some movies. I'm going to start this off by making an announcement. No, I have not watched Spider-Man, the new one, No Way Home. It's partially because I am pobreza, but it also mainly is because I don't know, man. I don't feel right about going to a theater right now, especially with this unicorn strain. The unicorn strain. That's all I can think about now, and it's stuck in my head. unicorn strain. I don't know why that's breaking me right now. But anyway, I don't know, man, but also I was gonna go watch it at Christmas with my family. I don't know if I'm gonna do that anymore because, like, it's Houston. Christmas is worse for movie theaters, but also I don't want to spend my Christmas with my family watching a movie, you know? If I want to watch a movie, I'll watch it at home, and I would be watching this one if Disney wouldn't have been selfish. But hey, será lo que será será. So no, I have not seen Spider-Man No Way Home. I'm probably gonna watch it sometime this week, but who knows. Honestly, at this point I'm just gonna stay off of Twitter for a month, I guess. But anyway, I have been watching the other Spider-Mans. Me and my wife cleared the trilogy, the OG trilogy, and then we just watched the Garfield things, which got me thinking about some stuff, because Garfield's been working recently. I mean, I was thinking to myself, like, Garfield's a good actor. Like, he does a really solid job. And I watched, what was it? Tick, Tick, Boom, I saw recently, and I really liked it. And now, before I continue on with that line of dialogue, I am not a movie or, like, a musical guy. Like, I love music, but when it comes down to like musicals, I'm not always into them. I think the last musical movie that I like, the last movie that you could call a musical that I actually like loved, was La La Land, which I don't even consider it a musical. I think it is a musical as it, because, you know, musicals are like the music is a part of the movie. Like, it is the shtick is the move. Like, there are going to be, like, the people express their thoughts and all that kind of stuff at any point in the movie through music. Whereas La La Land, I think the music, like the songs, there is a sort of like moment in the middle where the music dies. Which, I mean, if you've seen La La Land, like, that's, there's pretty much, like, essentially you notice that there's only the musicals in the moments where they're like super happy, or, and then there's like one at the end, and like, or a couple at the end. So I think that I wouldn't count as a musical as much, because I feel like it being a musical is a, like, they use it as a, man, I don't know how to describe this. It's like, it's not part of the movie. It is more of part of the story itself. Like, it is a vibe that you're getting, versus like the whole movie is just a musical. Like, you take Hairspray, like every single time that anybody had like something to talk about, like they sang about it. Versus in La La Land, like there is a point where they break up where like they just don't sing anymore, because, and it's weirdly romantic in the way that like you can say it, it's because the music died, because, you know, in a relationship or in your journey through Los Angeles, like the music, you feel like the magic is gone. And I think that was a really smart choice, and that's one of the reasons I like it, is because the music is it's a vibe. It's kind of like the same thing of in Hereditary, them using the boop, 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 like that heartbeat kind of like bass note in the background. Like it creates a different like environment for the viewer. And I think both directors knew exactly what they were doing. And I love both of those movies. And yeah, but so I'm not a musical guy. Like, Hairspray, like, cool. It was cool. Like I said, La La Land was probably the last, like, thing you could call a musical that I actually enjoyed. I really liked Tick, Tick, Boom. I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the fact that it was, because I know it's an actual Broadway musical that John wrote about it himself, partially. And I don't know. I feel like it's got a lot of like really, like it's very down to earth. It's very grounded in reality, which is great, obviously. But I think I really enjoy, like, just the music was good. I mean, the guy had a good vibe with the music, but I really enjoyed Garfield's acting, and the just like him and. Like, it's this thing that I've always hated about, like, New York movies or stuff like that. It's like, everybody makes it seem so beautiful. Everybody's like, yeah, like, sure, it smells like pee, and everybody around you probably wants to R-word you, but hey, it's New York, baby. I'm just like, yo, what are you talking about? They romanticize New York, and this movie, I feel like, obviously does, because like there's a huge obsession with New York for Broadway people, because I mean, if you want to be on Broadway, like, New York is where Broadway is. Like, you cannot do it outside of New York, which is really, really, really terrible, because I mean, who can afford to live in New York while simultaneously trying to like it's impossible, man. But, like, one of the things I like about this movie is, like, he, at the same time of, like, it's, like, a love letter to you, to New York, it's, like, an honest love letter. Like, listen, New York, like, you're great. You're my home. This is where my family and friends are. Like, this is where my, like, I've dealt with so much pain here. But at the same time, like, New York, I hate you. Like, you're the worst. Like, I've been killing myself for 8 years trying to make this Broadway musical, and you just dumped me in the gutter. Like, thank you, New York. You're a piece of garbage. Which I love, because I hate New York. Here's something you have to know about me. And here's something you have to know about me. I hate New York, Los Angeles, like, whatever other places, like, here's the thing about it. These movies, these things, like, it's a cold stone fact, especially now through all of this. It's like, you can do anything online, and we've been able to do a lot of stuff online for, like, well over a decade now. And So, like, when people say, like, oh, if you want to be in this business, you got to be here. So, like, people are sleeping. When I hear these stories of people sleeping in their vans in Los Angeles just so that they can be in Los Angeles so they can go to, like, auditions, all that kind of stuff. And that gives them a bet. Like, that's ridiculous. And that's a stupid way of thinking. And that's a stupid way of building that. Like, there is so many people on this planet, so many people in this country who don't live in Los Angeles, New York. And there is so much talent that the film industry is missing out on simply because of the fact that they can't look past the barrier of New York or Los Angeles. Like, name the amount of people that have come from other places, like, who have literally, like, I kid you not, gotten the job while living in other places. I assure you, most of the time, they're either rich or they moved to LA so that they could be in auditions. And I don't know. There's a part of me that just feels like that ain't it, man. Like, why, I gotta move to LA and live in a van so that I can be in movies? What are you, stupid or something? And I mean, like, it's one of the things that excited me about the fact that, like, so much of the film industry was starting to realize that maybe Albuquerque, New Mexico was a good place to be. Because, I mean, it's very similar in, like, weather to, actually, the weather's better in, New Mexico. But, like, the climate is the same. Like, there's a lot of space, you know, there's a lot of, it's the opportunity over there aside, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to get your car jacked too. Come to Albuquerque, I'll wreck your window in. But I don't know, man. Like, it's one of the things that excites me is because them going closer, like, just somewhere else, like, it's cool because our obsession, and that's the thing about it, is, like, we as a society have allowed Hollywood to think that that's okay. That, like, you can only limit the amount, like, the people who have a chance are the ones, are only people within, like, your vicinity. That's ridiculous, dude. That's ridiculous. How long have we been able to do job interviews over the phone? How long has Skype been a thing? Like, are you actually serious right now? Like, and, like, you know, people send, like, in audition tapes and all that kind of stuff, like, so that, like, that's been a thing. But then, like who's gonna watch your tape? Who's gonna watch your tape versus somebody who's there in person, somebody they can call back and have another interview within, like, days? And that's ridiculous that that's how it is. But now, like, with the internet, we have everything so speedy. I'll email you a tape right now. I'll you know, use my front-facing phone camera. It doesn't matter. I ranted about this, but that's one of the things I like about Tick Tick Boom is that it kind of, you know, you see that, like, he's struggling, man, and he's about to, like, he's so much is coming on to him in the moment of, like, he's, like, financially about to die. He's, like, his friends are dying around him. There's so much stress. His relationship is dying. And at the same time, he's trying to get this whole musical done. And then New York just poops on him, which is terrible. It's terrible. And I mean, obviously, right after the musical that he was writing, he writes Tick, Tick, Boom. And then that thing goes launching. I think one of the things about John's story, I forgot his last name. One of the things about John's story that I really enjoy, which is terrible to say, but one of the things that it's so poetic is the fact that he made it big with Tick, Tick, Boom. Like, Tick, Tick, Boom was a success. And then I think afterwards he made, like, I want to say a couple other ones, or immediately afterwards he made Rent. And I think if I'm correct, I think this is what the movie said. He never got to see Rent, like, on, like, released. Like, he, I think a couple days before, had, like, a brain aneurysm. And I don't know why, but that, and then Rent goes to be, like, one of the most famous musicals of all time. I don't know why that is just incredibly poetic, but it is. And it's, but then you look at Tick, Tick, Boom, the first song is about him, like, he's turning 30 and he feels like he hasn't had success and he feels like he's dying, you know, like he's running out of time. And That, and then that song or that musical goes big, and then 5 years later he dies. There is something so poetic about all of it, and it's horrifying, like, the way that that all worked out for him. It's a beautiful story. Really heartbreaking at some points, too, because he wrote all this during, like, the... Like, I want to call it, like, the AIDS crisis, but essentially, like, just... Like, people were just getting it left and right. And so that's that plays an element, because his best friend is a homosexual who gets it. And it's a really, really heartbreaking scene. That scene where he's, like, playing the piano, I didn't like that one as much, weirdly. I feel like they could have done better on, like, the emotional scenes. There's something... The thing about, like, Broadway people is anytime that they're emotional, you feel like they're being ingenuine, because Broadway people are over... emotional. Like, even in real life, if you've never met, like, a theater kid, even in real life, they are over the top, dude. Like, when they are excited, it is obnoxious. When they are crying, it is insane. Like, you're like, are you being real, or is this, like, a bit for you? So yeah, but I think Andrew Garfield did a very good job, and he actually sings in this movie, so that's fantastic. And I like Andrew Garfield, man, ever since I saw him in Social Network, man. That dude was balling. I remember watching Social Network, and obviously it's the scene with the MacBook where he just slams it down. And I remember thinking to myself, like, this kid is one of the greatest actors that I've ever seen. Like, to that scene executed perfectly. And, like, you know, you could say, like, oh, that was, like, greatest actor of all time. Like, nobody could have done that scene that well. Like, I'm sure somebody could have done it very well. Actually, thanks to the universe, Dylan O'Brien just happened to, like, hey, let's remake that scene with some buddy of his. I think it was a chick. I don't know. But they remade the scene, and he did it. And he did a good job. But, like, still, dude, nothing ever. Anybody could act that scene out. Nobody would be able to do it as good as Andrew Garfield, man. That is an iconic scene. Like, that scene is burned into my brain. David Fincher, like, you have my heart and soul, man. Like, the way that they executed that shot, the Mark being in the zone with the headphones on, and then it just them getting ripped off, dude. And then all of a sudden his buddy is smashing his laptop. Like, that is... Everything about Jesse Eisenberg's performance in that moment, even though he didn't say anything or barely anything, like, his performance in that moment. Oh my God, dude, that whole scene is just, it's one of my favorite scenes of all time. That's one of my favorite movies. It's so weird. People talk about, like, their comfort movies, and they'll be like, oh yeah, when I want to just, like, relax or chill down, like, I'll watch like Ash versus the Evil Dead, or like, I don't know who does that. If you watch horror movies when you want to be comfortable, you're a psychotic person. But they'll be like, oh yeah, I watch, like, you know, the Spider-Man trilogy, or I watch these movies. You know, people watch, like, movies that'll, like, make them happy or make them, like, just, like, nostalgic or anything like that. I watch The Social Network, dude, because it's beautiful. It's a gorgeous movie. The soundtrack is phenomenal. The storyline is just perfectly written. And I mean, even though it is based on a true story, it's like, it takes a lot of art and a lot of skill to be able to take a true story and make into a good movie. Like, there have been movies based on true stories that are just not that great, like, not that well written. So yeah, like, actually one of Garfield's other movies, which here's, oh, okay. I'm going to piss off some awardees, which are fans for the awards. I think Hacksaw Ridge could have been very, very much improved. Script-wise, I haven't seen it in a while, but script-wise, I remember very clearly. Like, I don't know if it was everybody's trying to do, like, country accent. Well, sir, I think that I just shouldn't have to hold a gun, because my faith declares that I can't. The Lord Jesus Christ Almighty says that I should not take another life, and I won't, sir. I will not carry again. I am a conscientious objector. I don't know if it's something like that or or if it's the fact that it was just poorly written, but I feel like it's a movie that I've watched before, you know? Like, I've seen everything that they say 1,000 times. You worthless maggot! If you ever think that I'm gonna let you be in my core, you've got another thing coming. Boy, are you upside down. All the other gentlemen in your squad, be advised, do not put your life in the hands of this man. And then the trumpet music. Wah, wah. You know, I'm just, I don't know. It feels like it's a movie that I've seen before. It feels very glossy as well. The thing about war movies is I feel like Steven Spielberg ruined it. Steven Spielberg ruined the game when he made Saving Private Ryan, and then he produced Band of Brothers, and then he produced The Pacific. Because now there's a vibe, there's a view that you have to have for your war movies. And it's like gritty. It's like the colors are like, you know, like washed out. Like it feels like it's being made. That's the thing that I love about Steven Spielberg. Even though it was like older movies, but it feels like when he made those movies, he made sure it felt like you were watching, like when the action comes down to it, it feels like you're watching a documentary with footage from like, because I mean, it's no secret that like we have like photographers and videographers in like war zones, and it feels like that. It feels like you're watching this from the point of view of a guy who's there with them with a camera. And Hacksaw Ridge did not have that. Hacksaw Ridge was very, very cinematic. It felt glossy. It felt, I don't know, man. It didn't feel, there's definitely points where it feels dangerous because, I mean, you know, people's legs are getting cut off and all that kind of stuff. The final battle scene was pretty dope. But I don't know. There's something about it that just didn't slap for me personally. I feel like we've moved on from, like, I don't know. You know, this is all just visual. I just feel like it didn't have the vibe of a war movie. And, you know, basically because of the fact that for the longest time, war movies have been that, like this grittiness. So, I mean, maybe I'm an idiot, but I don't think that this movie, let's take a look. I don't think that movie, Hacksaw Ridge, was as incredible as people made it out to seem. Let's see. Because I know it got nominated for an Oscar. I remember watching it and being like, wow, this is such a beautiful story. Story, mind you. Because it is. I mean, it's a gorgeous story. It's very interesting, the concept of somebody who doesn't want to kill people but still wants to do his part for his country. Because obviously right off the bat, you're like, how are you going to do that, bro? How are you going to make it if you can't shoot somebody? Like, what if your life goes in danger? Like, how are you going to shoot that guy? Answer. I can't shoot anybody, but I'll kick a grenade back. so yeah. But let me see, where are the awards for this thing? Sorry, I'm digging through my computer because I'm poorly planned. Which, if you're wondering, hey, where's the video episode? I'm not doing it this week. I've decided that I'm not going to do video episodes until I can get the hang of doing normal episodes every week. Because that seems like a good place to start before I start worrying about setting up a camera and everything.
Oh man, I'm so glad you guys are
with me on this journey to try to find the awards tab. Oh my god, dude, where's the awards tab? Are you kidding me? What? Where's the awards tab? I've seen this a million times, dude. Mom? Oh, there it is. It's in number 203 of the most top rated movies. Academy Awards USA. Oh, it was the winner for sound mixing and film editing. Nominated for Best Motion Picture of the Year. Yeah. Nominated for Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role. Andrew Garfield. Yeah. What year was this? 2017? Oh. I just almost exited out of my recording. 2017. Oscars. 2017 Oscars. Here we go, baby. Actor in a leading role. Casey Affleck, Andrew Garfield, Ryan Gosling, Viggo Mortensen, and Denzel Washington. Casey's the winner, obviously. I remember that. Mahershala being the supporting winner for Moonlight. Beautiful. I remember Moonlight won. Moonlight won, and it deserved to win. When I watched it, I was like, this is... Here's the thing about it. I love Moonlight. Moonlight's a great movie. Fantastic movie. Perfectly written. Incredible, like, visuals. Like, I have nothing bad to say about Moonlight, other than the fact that it's boring as hell. Because good movies are. That's the thing about these good movies, is they're boring as hell, man. Like, it's not a story that's going to really grip you. There are parts of it that get, you know, pretty exciting. But, like, it is, for the most part, it's a drama. And dramas win Oscars. God forbid a comedy wins an Oscar or something like that. I do love the fact that Joker won recently. I don't even remember. The past years have been a nightmare. Moonlight, Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge, Hell or High Water,
Hit the Figures,
La La Land, Lion, and Manchester by the Sea. Yeah. Manchester by the Sea, thank you 2017 for that movie. If I ever wanted to kill myself, it's that movie is going to make me do it. Moonlight was fantastic. Arrival, incredible movie. Arrival is one of the best movies of all time. I'm just going to say it right there. Hacksaw Ridge definitely is. I'm going to put Hacksaw Ridge pretty low on this list. It's number 4 on this list, but I mean, they're not ranking it, but I would say that Hell or High Water is definitely better. La La Land is 100% better. Out of all of these, I would say Moonlight deserved to win. La La Land is second. And there was that whole mix up between La La Land and Moonlight. When I watched, because I had only, by the time I got to the Oscars, or by the time the Oscars came, I had only watched La La Land. And so I was like, I was rooting for it, you know, because it was a fantastic movie. And then Moonlight won, and I was like, what? Oh, sorry, I keep hitting my microphone. Moonlight won, and I was like, oh, well, like, I got to go watch Moonlight now. So I went to the theaters, like, midnight one of these days. I got to see it. And I walked out, and I was like, yeah, yeah, like, that definitely wins it. But La La Land was incredible. Manchester by the Sea, I would not say it's an incredible movie, but it is incredible how, I'm joking, it is fantastic. That's the thing I hate about this movie. I hate this movie so much. I own it. I have watched it once because I literally wanted to cry. There is a scene, which I am not going to talk about, because if I do, I'm probably going to cry. But there is a scene that actually broke me as a human being. Like, I was, like, watching this movie is one of the toughest things I've ever had to do. And I've seen, like, Saw, but, like, there's very few movies I refuse to watch anymore. Manchester by the Sea. Schindler's List. And Changeling with Angelina Jolie. Those are movies. I watched Changeling very young, too. I think I had to be like 13, maybe. I don't even know. Like, maybe 12. When I watched Changeling in El Paso with my family. During, like, either Thanksgiving or Christmas. And I just remember finishing that movie, and my soul was broken. And then I just looked at my whole family, and they were just okay. And I was just like, I'm never watching this movie in my entire life again. And I haven't. I've tried, because I want my wife to watch it with me. But I don't want to watch that movie alone, man. I don't know what it's going to do to me. But Changeling was rough. Changeling was very rough. Manchester by the Sea is another one of those, man. Like, that is a movie I will not watch. And not because it's, like, bad, or not because I don't like Casey Affleck. That is a movie I refuse to put myself through. It is incredible. The writing is fantastic. The acting is insane, which is why Casey won. But it's, oh my God, the pain is so potent in that movie that it just seeps off. I cannot express how breaking that movie is. Never saw Fences. Is that racist of me? I think so. I gotta go watch Fences. No, I never watched Fences because it was like a Broadway show. So I knew it was going to be super dialogue driven. And I'm just not trying to watch like people just talk to each other for hours and hours, man. Like, I need something in the movie, man. I need some juice, you know? And let's be real here. Broadway ain't got no juice. Broadway ain't got no juice, man. But yeah. Writing, original screenplay. Oh my God. Manchester by the Sea won, obviously. Nominees, Hell or High Water, La La Land, 20th Century Woman, and The Lobster. Oh no. If you haven't seen The Lobster, don't do it. But also, like, wowzer. That movie was interesting. I own it on accident. And every time I give anybody my Vudu, and when I gave my sister, my little sister, I think when I started all this, and when I bought that, I was like, I had to be like, what, 20 something? I don't know, man. It's been so long. 21, 20, 20 something. And I bought that movie because I'm an A24 standboy. And I ended up watching it, and I was like, oh no. It's a very strange movie. And they ended up putting it on my Vudu, and I can't take it off. I don't know how. But when I shared my Vudu account with my sister, I had to tell her, I was like, all right, yep, I got a lot of movies on there, but do me a favor, don't watch The Lobster. She was like, why? I was like, it's weird, man. It's definitely something different. So, like, don't do it to yourself if you're going to judge me for what you see. Because, I mean, I didn't make the movie. I just bought it. Like, just don't watch it. And I don't think she has. But if she ever does, that's gonna be a rough one, man. I don't even think it's that bad. Like, if I remember correctly, it's just so weird. Yorgos Lanthimos, which is literally how I think people pronounce his name. I think he's the guy who made The Favorite, which is one of the most boring movies of all time. Absolutely garbage movie. One of the most horrible movies of all time. I hated that movie. I hate the movie The Favorite with every, like, soul fiber in my body. Like, there was no point in that movie. There was no use. British people can die. And I said British people can die, and I'm so sorry, because I think there's one person who has listened to this podcast from Britain. I hope you're from Australia, but... literally one of the most boring movies of all time. But Yorgos Lanthimos, he has made a couple of movies. I think he did Sacred Killing of a Deer as well, which is a fantastic movie. I will not recommend you watch The Lobster. I will 100% recommend that you watch Sacred Killing of a Deer. Let me see his. He did The Lobster. He did Sacred Killing of a Deer. He did The Favorite. Some other movie named Dogtooth, which nobody cares about because, I mean, who? I don't care about it because I've never heard of it. Sacred Killing of a Deer is a fantastic movie. Incredible movie. I love it. The Lobster, I mean, it's good. Be careful. Just be warned here, man. There's some weird stuff going on in this movie. And then obviously The Favorite is one of the worst movies of all time. Let's see what's The Favorite sitting at on here. Oh yeah, popularity is number 782. It has gone down from 130. Ranking is 7.5 out of 10. What's its IMDb? 91 Metascore. Yeah, this tells me that all you movie people, you don't know a darn tootin' thing. This movie is terrible. I cannot explain to you. Because, I mean, visually, the movie was pretty incredible. I'm not going to lie to you. Visually, like, it's perfect. Everything art direction-wise, like, is gorgeous. It is a gorgeous movie. I could care less about the story. I literally can barely even tell you what happened. The acting was incredible, obviously. Like, here's the thing about it. Everything about this movie was incredible. It's fantastic. But it is the worst movie of all time. I I can't explain it, man. I couldn't. This movie is an hour and 59 minutes long. When I watched this movie, I swear I had been in that theater because I went to the theaters. I had been in that theater for an eternity, my friends. For an eternity. This movie was long. It was unnecessarily long. It was unnecessarily boring. And it was unnecessarily made. I hate The Favorite by Yorgos Lanthimos. And it's just fun to say that name. Try it out. Yorgos Lanthimos. I hate that movie with all my heart. And nobody's going to change me on that. Well, I think that's the end of this episode, because we're already at like 35 minutes, and I don't want to make these hour-long episodes anymore, man. I don't know if this was even a good episode, but I hope you're just at work. AirPod in, just trying to have some droning voice in the background. Maybe every once in a while I say something stupid like the unicorn virus. That's still the funniest thing I've said today. Still gets me. And Yorgos Lanthimos. But hey, man. Live long and prosper. Go hug your family over Christmas. Go be with the ones you love. Enjoy your life. Enjoy this thing called reality. Follow me on Twitter at TicketRipperPod. Subscribe to the YouTube channel if you can find it. Maybe one day I'll start making the videos. There's one up there, and I'm going to leave it up there because I don't care. What are you guys, the quality police? If you think any of my views on this podcast are dumb, if there's something you want me to talk about, tweet me. I need engagement. Share this podcast with your mom. She's hot. That's my favorite thing to say at the end of these. I don't know why. It's so uncomfortable. I'll see you later, man. I hope you have a great week. I love you. Bye. Oh my God. And I hit the red button. I hit the red button. I swear to God, I hit the red button and it didn't do anything. You probably could even hear the click and it didn't do anything. And now I'm just sitting here recording the end of this podcast, dude. Why does this happen? Here we go. I'm going to do it again. I have it on there. I'm going to put the mic up to my mouse up to the thing. Watch this. Oh, and it didn't stop recording. Oh. Technical issues, I guess. I'm gonna leave now. Goodbye.